Good to be in the house of God on today, amen, to be able to worship together, to be able to sing to our great God. And if you noticed, little pattern came up at the end on not fearing, calling fear a liar. The last couple of weeks, the pastors have been able to come and minister things that have been on their heart. Just a heads up, next week, all three of us are going to present our next sermon series that we're going into. Talking about rediscovering the gospel and rediscovering what grace means in our lives. So all three of the pastors, you guys say, hopefully you won't all preach as long as you usually do. No comments. No, we'll all be able to present on next week as we talk about our next topic. But on today, something that God laid on my heart that I want to share with us today is something that we hear all the time. And I think we need to keep hearing it. Amen. That with everything that's going on in our lives right now and everything that's going on in the world, that fear has a way of creeping in. And we have many enemies in this life that we live. You know, the three main that we always talk about is the world, the flesh, and the devil. But thrown into that categories in some kind of way, we can talk about fear as well. That fear comes, and as we said on today, that fear doesn't tell the truth. Fear really is a liar. And we need to embrace that every day whenever fear rises up in our lives. And actually, as I was getting prepared for this sermon, you go to the next slide, Pastor Dwayne. Some of you have heard this before whenever you talk about fear, that when you break it down, the F, the E, the A, the R, fear really is false evidence appearing to be real. When you think about a lot of things that we fear or the things that weigh us down, there are things that fall into the category most of the time of what if? What if this happens in the future? What if that happens? And I'm going to go ahead and piggyback off of Pastor Dwayne. Last week, he talked in his sermon about not comparing ourselves to people, but he also talked about how there are distractions that come into our lives and get us off focus of what we're supposed to be doing and what God has called us to do. And when you really look at it, fear is nothing but a big distraction. If God's telling you to do something, if God's telling you to go somewhere, if God's telling you to embrace a certain concept and fear comes up and tries to take your focus off of that thing, that's exactly what it is. It's a distraction. And so in life, as we talk about fear and as we try to grasp this topic, this next slide will hopefully give us even a better comprehension of what this life is all about. There's going to be fear, and we have to fight that with faith. And I've heard people say things like, Pastor Taylor, you need to tell your people that fear and faith can't coexist at the same time. And I say, well, something's wrong with me because sometimes I am very fearful in my life. That maybe it's just, you know, the way that I'm built. But yes, we sing songs of praise. And yes, we trust God for things in our life. But even living by faith and professing the name of Jesus, that sometimes fear creeps in and tries to steal our focus and get us distracted from what God is calling us to do. And I like to think about it like this. Faith and fear are going to exist. But here's my thing. Which one is going to win? That you talk about that there, that you could either feed your faith or you can feed the fear. And whichever one you feed the most, that's the one that's going to grow the most. That's the one that's going to be more prominent. And so I've chosen in my life, whenever fear comes up, to starve it. If that makes sense, that there are concepts that come into our head or ideas that come into our head. And if we're not careful, those things will bombard us and weigh us down and burden us. And we find ourselves thinking about that all day. Really, what we're doing whenever we do that is we're feeding fear. And God's called us not to feed our fear, but to have faith. And in not feeding your fear, basically the title of our sermon today is Fear Not. God's calling us not to fear, not to actually give in to what the enemy says, not to let these negative and pessimistic thoughts come into our minds and stop us from being the men or the women of God that God has called us to be. And Paul writes to this church in Philippi in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and he encourages them. I think the funny thing about Paul writing this particular portion of scripture is that whenever you look at the book of Philippians, Philippians was all about rejoicing and joy and being content in this in God. And in the midst of all of that, he ends chapter four, and in the portion he's going to go back to rejoice, but then he's going to encourage him with another word, telling him not to have fear. And even as the scripture starts out, this particular chapter starts out, you'll see where he's calling for these two women to actually join together and to actually live together and be peaceful with one another. Because, listen, in the midst of trying to be joyful and to rejoice and to be who God's called us to be, the devil's still going to try to send attacks our way. And obviously, that's what was happening to this church, even though they were joyful people. And Paul talked about rejoicing all throughout this particular book of the Bible. Look at what verse 1-9 says in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4 says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And verse 6 starts out, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition," King James Version is "by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you again for another worship service. And as this word goes forth, God, I pray that it won't stop here, but throughout this week that you'll bring it back to our memories. God, calling us not to fear, but to have faith in you. God, move me out of the way. And God, let your people see you through this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen and amen. So you're talking about this concept of fear. And as we get into this particular portion of scripture, big part that I want to emphasize today is this first point that Paul wants them to understand. God says, don't fear. He simply said to pray. That in verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God said to do what? To pray. And so whenever we look at this concept of praying, this is what he's saying in the first part. He says, nothing should make us anxious, but everything should make us prayerful. Paul told the church, he said, nothing should make you anxious, but everything should make you prayerful. Listen, I know anxiety comes. I know that it creeps up. But insane is Paul is saying this: don't let anxiety rule your life. Instead of being anxious, pray about everything. Let me say this as well. You don't need to pray whether you need to drink a Dr. Pepper or a Coca-Cola for lunch. Oh, maybe y'all think you do. I don't know. I've heard of people say things like, "Pastor Taylor, I need to pray whether I need to wear my red sweater or my blue sweater to work this morning." I'm like, wear a sweater. I need to pray about which parking spot to take, either spot one or spot two, whenever I get to work. Pick a spot. So in saying praying about everything, Paul is not saying that absolutely everything has to be prayed about in terms of little things like this. But listen, big decisions in your life, things pertaining to your family, things pertaining to your job, listen, things that are weighing on your mind, Paul is saying this: don't be anxious about it, pray about it. That those things that you've been staying up late at night with or you wake up in the morning and it's on your mind, or it's been going on for years and you just say, oh, it'll work itself out. Paul is saying, no, don't be anxious about it. Pray about it. That would fall into the category of everything. And he said, with this prayer and with petition, with thanksgiving, you present your request to God. You look at this portion of scripture, and when you break down petition or supplication, is really saying this. It's like a begging, asking God to do something. It's not a casual prayer. It's like, oh God, if you want to do this, then go ahead and do it. Or God, listen, I'm coming to you, and if you feel like doing it today, this petition, this supplication right here that Paul is talking about, is where you're boldly going before God and asking him to do something that only he can do, because you know that you can't do it yourself. And I think too often in our lives, we're a little too passive about prayer, or we're a little too hesitant to bring God the big things. We don't want to bother him, or we think that it may be too big for him to take care of. And Paul is saying this: when you go with prayer, when you go with supplication, you go and you beg God to do it. But listen, you do it believing that the God that created everything is able to take care of this petition that you're bringing his way. And instead of being passive, or we'll see if this happens, is declaring, God, I'm bringing this situation to you. I'm bringing my child to you. I'm bringing my spouse to you. I'm bringing my family to you. And in bringing them to you, I know you're going to take care of it. Paul said this: give thanks. He says to pray, petition, bring it to God. But he said to give thanks. And my thing is this: if it's something that's trying to make me anxious, or it's something that's trying to steal my joy, or something that's trying to distract me, how in the world am I going to give thanks for it in the midst of going through it? And Paul said, no, it's not about what you feel. It's your faith in knowing that God's going to take care of this situation. Give thanks. And in giving thanks to God, in actually thanking him for that thing before it even happens, God's saying this: yeah, your faith is where it needs to be. And according to his will, he's going to work it out. Now, listen, God's will may not be your will. Whereas you're praying and you're bringing petitions and you're thanking God for this specific thing, and you're saying, God, I thank you already for doing it. And God's sitting up in heaven with his arm folded saying, nope, that's not what you're going to do. And that's not the person that I have for you, or that's not the job that I have for you, or that's not where I want you to be. And if it's not in God's will, I don't want to be there. That people say, well, you know, Pastor Taylor, I'm praying about this relationship, and I know that this person not in Christ, but I'm going to go ahead and get in this relationship, and then they're going to come to Christ after we get together. And I'm saying, no, that's not God's will. You need to run away from it. But it's so much easier to be with somebody than to be by myself. And again, if you're with somebody and it's not in the will of God, you shouldn't be there. I'm meddling. I'm being messy this morning in saying that. But I'm telling the truth, that if there's somebody that you want to be in a relationship with, and you're thinking that you're going to be able to win them over to Christ, and they have nothing to do with Christ, or they don't want to have anything to do with Christ, and you're just hoping, having faith, petitioning and praying for God to work it out, and you see no evidence of faith in their life and no evidence of them wanting to love the Lord, then you may not need to be with that person. I'm going to get off of relationships. People say I dwell on that too much. Listen, if it's God's will for a relationship, for a job, for maybe a business that you're trying to start, I want to be in God's will. And the best way to do that is to pray. It's to pray to God and to petition God. And then in petitioning God, give him thanks for what's going to happen and how he's going to move. We used to sing a song in the choir a long, long time ago. It says this: you got to see it before you see it, or you never will see it. That according to God's will and what he has in place for you, you got to see this thing that you're praying about, this loved one getting off of drugs, this wayward spouse, this child that's gone astray, this the prodigal child, this job that's not going the way you want it to go, this a crime in the community, craziness in politics. You got to see it getting better before you see it happen, or you're never going to see it, because your faith is never going to get to the point where you pray and ask God to make it happen so that you can give thanks. You got to see it before you actually see it. And so Paul, in his first part, he's saying this: don't fear. God said to just pray. And my encouragement to all of you as we're in this new year and as we're seeking God's will and we're asking him individually where he wants us to be and as a church where he wants us to be, how God wants to use us in the community and different parts of the city where we are on our jobs and at school and at the seminary and here in Holly Grove, we need to be praying. It's funny when you think about it that when you look in the book of Acts and the church was established, the church was established while they were praying. That when the Holy Spirit came in and moved, whenever they were in the upper room, they weren't preaching sermon like I am right now. They were come together and they were praying and they were waiting on God. And in the midst of praying, that's whenever the church was established. And too many times I've been in churches that do this. Too many times you'll play 10 songs on the keyboard and the band will play 10 songs. And then when it comes time to prayer, there's 1 minute for prayer. And then you move on to the next thing, not understanding that prayer should be one of the main things we do when we come together, because as we pray and as we petition and as we give God thanks, that's when he moves. And so, yes, the sermon is good and worship is good and giving our offering is good. But the thing we need to understand is that whenever we need to see God really, really move, it's time to pray. When Jesus wanted to spend time with God, he didn't do sermons. He didn't do songs. What the Bible says, he left his disciples and he went away to a solitary place and he prayed. So Jesus needed to pray. If the Son of God needed to pray to spend time with God, if the Son of God had to get away from all of the distractions to spend time with the Lord, I think that's telling us that we need to put aside some more time and pray and ask God, what do you want to do in my life? Not only pray, I'll go ahead and say this, just a little added part that's not in my notes, but I was thinking about this, that whenever you look in the scripture and the disciples, they were trying to cast out a devil and Jesus was off into the mountain. Jesus came back and they pulled Jesus to the side and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast out the devil out of this person? And Jesus said, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. That prayer, yes, 100% prayer is what we need to be doing, but there's going to come a time where we're going to have to put our flesh aside and fast and ask God, okay, God, I really, really need you to move in this situation. And I really, really need you to take care of this. You and your spouse need to get together and say, we're going to spend this time fasting. You and your children need to get together and say, we're going to spend this time fasting. Maybe you need to do a fast by yourself and say, I'm going to see God move in this situation. Because again, I'm putting my fleshly desires, my hunger, my need to put food into my body, putting it to the side so that I can spend time with God. And as we pray, as we fast, as we petition, as we give him thanks, God's going to take away the fear. That's something that God laid on my heart this year, is that we need to do more prayer. We need to do more fasting so that fear is not going to be a normal part of our lives, but faith is going to be a prominent part of our lives. So Paul tells him in this first part, he tells him, don't fear. God told him to pray. And in the second part, whenever you're talking about fear, he said, don't fear, that God is peace. What? God is peace, and the peace of God, which transcends, King James Version, which passeth all understanding. This peace that Paul is talking about right here is not a worldly peace, a peace that you find whenever you put your hopes and put all of your trust in what's going on in politics in America. It's not a peace that comes whenever you log into your bank account and you see monetarily that you have a couple of zeros behind the numbers in your bank account. That's not the peace that Paul is talking about right here. This peace is not found in a certain relationship. I prayed for this person to come into my life. Paul is saying this: the peace that you need is God himself. That That's the peace that passes all understanding. That's the peace that transcends all understanding. When everything is falling apart around you and everybody else is going crazy or losing their mind, there's a peace that you have because you have God himself. So Paul tells them, don't fear. This peace of God, this is actually God. This is what's going to pass all understanding. We have peace with God in terms of salvation. You go to the book of Hebrews and it talks about how he is our peace. He's torn down the division. He's torn down this partition between us and him so that we can, as we read, boldly go to him, boldly go to the Lord. So we have peace in salvation. But listen, we can also have peace in the storms of life. That y'all remember whenever Jesus was on the boat and the storm was raging and the disciples didn't know what was going on, and they wake Jesus up out of his sleep, and he comes to the top of the boat and he said three little words: peace, be still. And the Bible say that the waves didn't think about whether it was going to get still. The Bible didn't say that the winds just kept going for a couple of hours and then eventually it got still. No, it said it says this: immediately the sea became calm and the wind stopped blowing. And they said, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? So this storm that they found themselves in, Jesus was able to speak peace over that. And the storms of our life, do you know that you could be going through the worst thing that's ever happened to you and have peace? Now, you can get a doctor's report that says you may need to be on hospice. Pastor Dwayne and Dale may need to come see you because you have 6 months to live. And in the midst of getting that bad news, there can be a peace. You can get a report from someone. I saw the other day Usain Bolt in Jamaica, and they were talking about him. And then they said somebody took $12 million out of his bank account, if y'all saw that online. And he was doing an interview, and maybe he's at peace because he has a lot more money than that, so he's not worried about $12 million. Anyways, he was just so peaceful while he was talking about it. $12 million? In the midst of that, think about this. If the bank called you and told you that all of your money was going out of your bank account and we don't know where it happened, there is a peace that you can have in the midst of this, saying this: the God that gave me the job to get the money to put into the bank account is going to take care of me until the money comes back into the bank account. That's where faith kicks in. That's where faith kicks in. When I don't have anything and I don't know how things are going to work out, I still trust God because God is peace. That's the peace that passes all understanding. That's the peace that you can have on your job or out in the community where people look and they say that nothing really rattles this person. And I wonder what it is. It's not me. It's not anything of my own doing. It's the fact that I have God in my life. That's the peace that I have. And that's the peace that other people need to see. That's the peace that Paul was talking to the people in Philippi about. This peace is going to transcend all of your understanding. So the first thing Paul was saying, don't fear, just pray. And then this one says, don't fear, God is peace. And then the last one is, don't fear, God will protect you. This peace that passes all understanding, look what it's going to do. It's going to guard your hearts and it's going to guard your minds in Christ Jesus. That the best protection that we have is not a gun in your house, or security around you, or NOPD, or the FBI. The best protection that we have is God. God's going to protect you. He's going to guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And why that's so important is whenever he guards your heart and guards your mind, then again, it stops you from getting distracted. It stops you from making bad choices. It stops you from getting in relationships that you don't need to be in. He directs you in the path that you should go. And the decisions you need to make, God will protect you and allow you to make good decisions because he's your peace. And so Paul is saying that fear is not of God. Just pray about that. And this peace that God is, he'll give that to you and he'll protect you throughout whatever you're going through and whatever you're facing. This is the peace that we're able to have. This is the blessed assurance that we have is this God told us not to fear, He said this to his disciples when he's about to leave. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of time. And the weird part about that was then he left. And I'm sure they're standing there like, wait a minute. This dude just said he never leaveth or forsaketh. But in leaving, he sent his Holy Spirit down to be with them. And in sending his Holy Spirit down to be on the inside of them, that's whenever they started doing mighty works. And that's whenever the church started to flourish. And the book of Acts talk about how God was adding to the church daily. Those that were being saved and people that were a part of Caesar's household were getting saved. And people were being converted and lives were being changed. And the Spirit of God was moving in a mighty way. And miracles were happening all because, listen, it started with prayer. That when Jesus left, they was like, okay, we're going to hold up in this place and start praying until God moves, until God does something. And God eventually moved and great things happen. And again, y'all sitting out there, you say, why is he back on prayer again? Because I truly believe that as we start praying and as we start seeking God's face and as we start petitioning him and giving him thanks for the things we need, we're going to see God start doing some great things. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, that's the God that can do great things in our lives. If we just get before him and pray and bring our needs to him, God is ready to move. And if prayer is so important, if this institute of actually not fearing is so important, I always ask myself, why am I not praying more? Why am I not seeking God's face more? Why am I not getting in his word more? In this new year in 2023, I want to be like Peter whenever the storm is raging and I'm on the boat and God's telling me to come over there, or God's telling me to do something great, or God's calling me to start a business or to do something that nobody else understands. But in the midst of trying to get to where you're going, you got to walk on the water. I want to be the one to be like, okay, I'm walking on the water. I'm stepping out on the boat and I'm not going to have fear on what God's called me to do. And Peter was all right. Y'all remember Peter was good. Peter was like, all right, walking on the water, I'm good. And it said that as soon as he took his eyes off of who? As soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. He began to sink in the thing that he was walking on before. And God's calling us to do, I truly believe this, that as the church, God is calling us to make an impact, not only in our community, but in our world. But he's like, are you going to step off the boat? Are you going to have enough faith to step off of the boat, not be scared, not be fearful about what I told you to do? Step out on faith. Keep your eyes on me. The image last week Pastor Dwayne gave us, of the blinders that the horse had on so that he could stay focused ahead. God is saying, keep your eyes on me in spite of what everybody else is doing. Don't fear in spite of what they're saying. Don't fear in spite of the attacks that's coming your way. Don't fear. You have a blessed assurance in who I am, and God's going to do great things in our lives. That why do we have to constantly continue reminding ourselves to fear not, fear not, fear not, again, because we have an enemy, and the enemy wants us to fear. The enemy wants us to doubt. The enemy wants us to stay in the boat whenever God's saying, come to me, come do this great thing that I've called you to do. Step out on faith and do it. And don't worry about the fear. Just pray about it. Don't worry about the fear. I'm your peace. Don't worry about the fear. I'm going to protect you. And whenever we grasp what God is saying, that's when great things are going to happen. I truly believe that the solution to all of the craziness that's going on in the world is the church. People are like, oh, well, you know, if we do certain programs, Pastor Taylor, or if we get certain things in place, or we put the right person in office, or we get the right funding in this certain aspect, you can do all of that. But if the church isn't actually, or if God's not involved in making the change happen, it's not going to last. And that's what the church is called to do, to impact the world now, just like it did back in the book of Acts. But in order to do that, we got to get rid of fear. Understand that as I've preached this whole sermon, this idea kept coming in my head. And I really want you guys to understand this. it doesn't mean that fear is not going to come. It doesn't mean that those trials of life aren't going to come. It doesn't mean that the enemy's not going to put ideas in your head. But when those ideas come into your head, you need to remember what we talked about today. God said, pray. Oh, devil, you're telling me this? Oh, doubt, you're telling me this? Oh, the flesh, you're telling me this? God says, pray. And in the midst of praying, he'll be my peace. He'll be my protection. He's actually going to take care of everything. The peace that passes all understanding is going to be with me through all of this and see me through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me. The peace of God is with me. The protection of God is with me as I go through these difficulties, as I go through the valley and come out on the other side. I know that I'm only going to come out because God is with me. So I think all of us can probably point to something today that you're thinking about for the future that can be a source of fear. What am I going to do then? What am I going to do when this happens? What am I going to do later in the year? What move am I going to make whenever this situation comes up? In the midst of thinking about that, that's where you can exercise your faith. Not have fear of the future, but faith in the future. Now, faith in the God of the future that's taken care of you in the past, that has you where you are today. And his promise is he's going to be with you until the end of time. So whatever the enemy is bringing your way, whatever you may have walked through the door with today that was negative, that was maybe on your mind while this sermon was going forward, I'm here to tell you God will protect you. I'm here to tell you that the peace of God is able to keep you no matter what it is that's going on in your head. We just have to make sure that we're praying and asking him to do it. Listen to this. Last thing, and I'm going to say that as we preach these sermons up here, Pastor Alf and Pastor Dwayne, hopefully you all understand that the promises of God are for the people of God. Listen, the promises of God are not for people on the outside of the faith. And they're like, oh, I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I really want to be a part of the church. The promises of God, even what I talked about today, praying and actually receiving God's peace and actually receiving God's protection is for the people of God. So maybe somebody here today or somebody on Zoom, you're saying this, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm a person of God. I don't know if I'm a part of the family of God. I don't know if I can embrace these promises of God because I don't know if I'm a part of the people of God. Today is a good day to make that choice. To accept salvation from this one who has made it so simple. He says this, just believe. Realize that you need a savior and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And in dying for your sins, he's made a way for you to become a people, a person of God, a people, a person of God. And in becoming a part of the people of God, you can embrace the promises. You can embrace the peace. You can embrace the protection that God brings. That's what's assured for the people of God. Again, maybe you're on Zoom, maybe you're here and you're like, well, I'm not a person of God. So which prayer is God going to hear from you? It's a prayer of repentance. And it's a prayer where you're saying like, Lord, save me, make me one of your people. Actually include me into the plan that you have. And he says this, if you ask, he's going to answer. That if you seek, you're going to find the Lord. That if you knock, and you're asking God to open the door. How many of y'all believe that God will open the door for salvation, that God's going to actually welcome you into his family? And those of us that are saved, we get to share that with our brothers and sisters who we know aren't where they need to be in the faith. God said, don't fear. God said to just pray. He said, don't fear. I'm your peace. He says, don't fear. I will be your protection. Let's embrace that this week, saints of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word. God, we know that the enemy is constantly attacking. The enemy is constantly bringing thoughts and ideas our way that are contrary to your word. God, we stand on who you are today. God, we stand on your word. And God, as your people, we embrace the promises that you have given to us. God, you said that if we pray, that you'll give us a peace that passes understanding. God, you said that you will guard our hearts and our minds. And I pray that today, and as we leave this place, even throughout this week, to go to our separate jobs and we're with our family members and different places, God, that this word will come back to us and we'll believe in what you said. You are peace. And God, you are our protection. We praise you for that on today. Thank you that fear, in quoting a recent song that came out, God, fear is not my future. God, you truly are. You are our future. And we trust you for what the future holds. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen.